I've been asked to speak on science and spirituality. These are two subjects which are held in high esteem in India today. Spirituality has always been central to Indian culture. Science is also very much part of Indian culture, although many Indian people today don't know how much science is in the original Vedic culture. I was speaking to a mathematics professor this afternoon, and we were discussing how, according to the Vedic mathematics system, one who's trained in that, he can be given told two 20-digit numbers and told to multiply them. He'll just tell you, quicker than you can enter it in a computer. So, we were discussing about this, how in Vedic culture, astrology, Jyotish, that's a major part, which is going on even today. Even today, most people in India, even if they have a scientific background, they get their children married, first they see the Janma Patrika. So that astrology is based on astronomy. According to modern science, we can calculate when the next eclipse will be, when a certain comet will appear. But according to the Vedic system, that was also being done. Otherwise, how could they have astrology without astronomy? Exactly what time the moon will rise, all of that knowledge was there. And astronomy is based on mathematics. So actually, there was ancient Vedic culture, there was a lot of science. It's not just that in the modern age, people have looked through telescopes and understood all these things, but originally in Vedic culture, there was a lot of science, but the purpose was different. Modern science is more or less dedicated to the pursuit of nescience. Nescience is an English word which means ignorance. So generally we think that science gives us knowledge. But actually, what is knowledge? What is actual knowledge? Knowledge, according to Vedic understanding, knowledge begins with the science of discriminating between spirit and matter. Modern science has assumed, we're talking about the general paradigm of modern science, modern science has assumed that there is nothing called spirit, that there is only matter. Modern science rests on the assumption that by human intelligence, by observation and hypothesis, we can understand everything there is to be known about reality. And if we cannot perceive something, if we cannot measure it, if we cannot evaluate it through our senses, by hearing, touching, smelling, feeling, hearing, if we cannot evaluate it through our senses, then we say it doesn't exist. We don't believe in God, some people who presume themselves to be scientific say, because we cannot see Him. We cannot prove that there is God. And when we say the proof should be according to the scientific method. But this statement is at the very outset illogical and irrational. Because if there is spirit, then by definition it must be different to matter. So if we try to measure it if we say we cannot accept spirit because we cannot see it, touch it, smell it, feel it, or hear it, well, that's the definition of spirit. So if we say we cannot perceive it by any material means, therefore it doesn't exist, it's an illogical statement. It's a self-defeating statement from the very beginning. And in fact, one of the definitions of Maya, we all know this word Maya. Maya is generally understood. Ma, which means not, and Ya, that which goes, that which is. So that which is not, that is Maya or illusion. Another definition of Maya is Mapiyate Anaya Iti Maya. The attempt to measure is Maya. So according to this, modern science is all Maya. Because it's all based on measurement. Of course, we're not against science per se. But the very definition of spiritual is that which is adhok saja. That means which is beyond our power of material perception. So you may say that, well, if we can't see it or hear it or touch it or smell it or feel it or taste it, then how do we know it exists? So therefore we presume it doesn't exist. But this again is irrational, because why should we presume that everything in existence is within our power of observation? For instance, we can only see within a certain spectrum, isn't it? We can only hear within a certain spectrum of sound. So if we cannot hear it, should we presume that there's no sound because we cannot hear it? In the West, they have dog whistles. You blow the whistle and the dog comes running to you. You cannot hear it. The dog can hear it because it's very high frequency. So does that mean that the sound, we cannot hear it, so it doesn't exist, but the dog can hear it? So to presume that all of reality is within that which we can measure is from the very beginning irrational, because we have extremely limited powers of perception. We have extremely limited intelligence. Our perception, even with the help of the best telescopes, only goes as far as a few planets or galaxies. So, actually, it's more realistic or logical to accept that most probably there are many levels of reality that we have no access to through our present senses. And according to quantum theory, so we are told, I'm not pretending to be a quantum scientist, but we are told that according to quantum theory, theoretically at least, there are many levels of reality existing simultaneously, but we can only perceive one path of reality. In other words, just to put it simply, there may be and should be and must be many things which are not measurable by modern science. And the very definition of spirit is that which is different to matter. So modern science can never reach to spiritual life. Modern science, by its very scope, is limited to the mundane, to that which is mundane. Now, we may say that, well, we don't believe in all of these things. Why should we believe in God? Why should we? Why should we just not believe in science? Modern science. These ladies all understand English? You can tell them, ladies. Canada translation is going on. Outside.
Hare Krishna.
ಕನ್ನಡ ಮಾತ್ರ ಗೊತ್ತಿರೋರು ಅವರು ಮುಖಾಂತರ ಕೂತರು.
I think because so many people
and those sitting around that person who they understand
yeah, take it yeah no it's okay no problem I'm used to that.
So we may say why we shall just have faith in science, we don't need all these spiritual things. However, if we have enough faith in Bhagavad Gita to open it up and see what it says, Bhagavad Gita points out the defect of only having faith in material things. Before Einstein, long before even Copernicus, Lord Krishna pointed out in Bhagavad Gita some of the major defects of material life, namely janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. One who is actually a gyani, in the definition of gyan, Lord Krishna has stated that one should see that material life is full of birth, death, old age and disease. Now, our atheistically minded friends who have great faith in science will say that, well, that's natural.
Is that outside? Why don't... Oh, okay. All right.
You can have it in both languages, for those of you. By technological advancement, modern science. So, people of great faith, they say, well, that's natural. We say, it's not natural. Death is not natural. You say, it's natural. Everyone does. It is not natural. If death is natural, then why do you try to avoid it? If death is natural, then why do we think it is fearsome? It is not natural for the soul to die. Because spirit is the opposite of matter. We know the terms Sat Chit Ananda, eternity. That which is spiritual is eternal, means no death, full of knowledge, full of Ananda. But material life, the situation is Asat Achit Nirananda. Asat means we have to die. We say it's natural because we do not have knowledge of our actual natural position, which is not to die. And we have consciousness, but at the present time, our consciousness is full of knowledge, which is not actually knowledge, it's ignorance. Just like Einstein, very knowledgeable and intelligent person, is it not? We have to accept. But I can clearly say that I am a better scientist than Einstein. What a bold claim. How can I say? Is it not a foolish claim? This is actual fact, because Einstein did not know who he is. Einstein was in the same illusion that everyone in material existence is in, that I am this body. So, higher science is to understand the difference between spirit and matter. And modern science does not even begin to approach it. Therefore, we say it is the science of nescience. It is the science of ignorance. It does not bring us to the actual goal of life, which is to come to the situation of Sat Chit Ananda beyond birth and death. So this is actually a higher science. I was saying in Vedic culture how it was very developed. Astronomy was high knowledge of astronomy. which is based on mathematics. But why that was there? To calculate the position of the planets so that they can find out an auspicious time. Now, nowadays astrology is mostly used for what is the auspicious time for Griha Pravesham, Vivaha Sanskaram, time for starting a business, all this. But mostly the prime purpose of astrological calculation in Vedic culture was to find out what is the good time for performing yajna. That was the center of... And yajna, why? Yajna by Vishnu, because yajna is Vishnu, is meant for satisfying Vishnu. The whole of Vedic culture, highly developed science, on the purpose of Sansidhya Haritoshana. Everything is meant for the full perfection of life, is not to make some big firework rocket. They have these rockets, they blast off, they go to the moon. It's like some big firework, right? You have these fireworks, Shiva Kasi fireworks. So you get a very big one, and you sit in that, and poof, you go off. It's not very advanced technology, actually. In Vedic culture, there was Vimana operated by Mantra Siddhi, not by some fire. You light a match and firework, Shiva, big Shiva Kasi rocket goes up to the moon. So they said, this is not advanced technology. In Vedic culture, highly advanced technology. Vimana going by mantra, not by rocket fuel. So, but all this culture is meant for Haritoshanam. Highly developed mathematical knowledge, astronomical knowledge. All, even this, nowadays you have to spend lakhs of rupees for your heart problem and all this. But that's also Ayurveda is there, which in the Western countries is becoming prominent now. So all these sciences were there, but science was developed not to increase our illusion at the present time. The illusory ethos that is being promoted by modern science is that we shall live very happily in this world. This is Maya. We cannot live happily in this world. However much we develop technology, AC in the summer, you have AC and you have a machine for killing mosquitoes, and so many technological developments are there, but we cannot live happily in this world. That is the illusion that is propagated by the modern scientific ethos. We are told, work hard, study, you'll get a good job. Good job means you have to work very hard, 16 hours a day, and then you can save up your money so that when by the age of 35 you get a heart attack and you can go to an expensive hospital by helicopter. These are the, because you have to save time. So they have that here in Bangalore, helicopter service for heart patients. In Delhi and Bombay there. Bangalore is still somewhat backward, sorry to say. If you want to start a business, you can do helicopter service for heart patients. So you can spend all your money, 1 lakh going in the helicopter to get 5-star treatment and then die scientifically. They'll say, yes, brainwave stopped, heartbeat stopped, respiratory system stopped. We have scientifically ascertained he is dead. Scientifically. So all the scientific progress is based on the illusion that we shall make the world better by science. But is it better? Even from the material point of view, is life better by scientific development? We have AC, yes. We have cell phone, yes. We have mosquito killing machine, which makes more karma, yes. More karma fall for killing. We have mechanized slaughterhouses. So these are all scientific developments. But are people more happy? Even on the material platform, are people more happy? We find now in the modern world, what is the major disease? Heart problem, cancer. Coming up more is mental disease, depression, suicidal tendency. This means people are not happy. Why people are not happy? Because they are living an unnatural life. You say, yes sir, AC, that's unnatural. All the going in cars, that's unnatural. But the most unnatural thing is that we are depriving ourselves of what we really need, which is spiritual development. We are making so many arrangements for the body, but as spiritual beings, we have spiritual needs. And the main defect of modern society is that we are depriving ourselves of our spiritual needs. Now, Sigmund Freud, who is the father of modern psychoanalysis, his whole theory is based on the idea that psychological disturbances arise from suppression of our natural tendencies. And he particularly focused on sexual tendencies. His theory was that we all have sexual tendencies, and because in the different cultures of the world they tend to repress this, and therefore we have so many psychological problems. And modern society, this idea that we should all mix up and boyfriends and girlfriends and just have fun together, you don't have to get married and all this has developed this animalistic culture. Actually, this vivaha samskar is in human society. Dogs and cats don't have marriage. They don't go to the astrologer. Just kutta sees kutti and love affair. They don't match the chart. So this modern idea of free love, this is kutta kutti bhava. That's all. So Freud's idea was that you just indulge, don't try to suppress. All the problems come from suppression. So that is true, but it's true that all psychological problems come from not being in contact with our inner nature. That's true. But Freud, being a materialist, didn't see what is our real inner nature. This sexual desire is not our inner nature. That is a covering of our real inner nature. Within the sexual desire is the actual pure spiritual desire. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes that this karma or material desire, that is a jnana avaranam. It is a covering of our actual jnana. So Freud was right that we're suppressing our inner nature, but our real inner nature is spiritual nature that is on the Satchit Ananda platform. That is love. That is actual love. Nowadays they're promoting so much this idea love, but the same thing, what they call love is this kutta kutti sambandha in human form. It's the same thing that we have Miss World contest, everyone thinks very beautiful, very nice. This idea, a man sees a woman sees a man, very nice, we like each other. This is the same feeling that the dog has on the street. So that is not higher nature, that is lower nature. And because we have taken this as the ultimate goal of life, Therefore, human society is so much disturbed. Just the opposite of what Freud said. Freud said that disturbance in human society is caused by repression of our sexual impulses. But by indulgence in sexual impulse, we become animals. Human being means to control our lower nature and come to the standard of higher nature. But if we take that our actual nature is simply this karma, then we become animals. And that we see, modern life, people are animalistic. Kaam, after kaam comes krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. So these are increasing in human society. So how can there be happiness? It is not possible. So we would like to, on the basis of actual knowledge given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, refine Freud's theory. Freud, he had some idea, but he missed the point. That we have to understand what is our inner nature and not repress that. Our inner nature is to love, but the idea that we have of love in material consciousness, what we call love, is based on exploitation. Just like we have love marriage, what happens in love marriage? Boy meets girl, and I like you, you like me, okay, let's get married. So what is that like? That is based on basically on the body. That's why love marriage, you see, someone got divorced. What happened? Love marriage. Oh, okay, then. If you say love marriage, divorce, then they understand. Because it was not, the basis was only bodily attraction. We don't find love marriage that someone falls in love with a young man falls in love with a 70-year-old widow. Why? It's not based on the personality, it's based on bodily attraction. But the Vedic culture is Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam, to love everybody. So the idea of love, what is that? It is not based simply on body. Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam means that we don't hate Pakistanis. It's not just Mera Bharat Mahan or Pakistani or Sab Narakja. Aisa nahi hota. Or it's not that we love the Hindus but not the Muslims. Or we love our caste and not another caste. Or we love Tamils, we don't like Tamils. Not like them. But loving everyone, now we hear love, how is that possible to love everyone? Means we have to know what is the center of love. What is the meaning of love? What is the central point of love? That is Krishna. Krishna means who is the root of everything. Krishna means the Supreme Personality of Godhead from whom everything comes. He is the object of love. That is called bhakti. Bhakti doesn't, this word love or is this English word does not correspond with bhakti. Bhakti means anyabhilashita shunyam, to be free of any other desire but to love Krishna. So if we love Krishna, then automatically we can love everyone. And if we don't love Krishna, however much we talk of love, we cannot love anybody, not even our own selves, because we do not know what is our real self-interest. What is our real self-interest? We shall promote, now India is up and coming, we should promote the national interest. What is the national interest? Build new highways, build new factories, have education for all, give midday meals to children so that they can study better and become better materialists. This is in the national interest, this is not in the national interest. This is in the national disinterest. Because by increasing material understanding, then we end up, For all our big highways, we're all on the highway to hell. If we don't understand who we are, what is our relationship with Krishna, then we may have material advancement, but what we call material advancement, it means how to make progress in going to hell for a long time. This is the fact. We may think we have very nice mechanized slaughterhouse. People can eat more meat. The result of that will be that they'll very scientifically go to hell for a long time. This is the fact. But people don't like to even think about this. They think we have to make material progress. Foolishness. Why don't you consider what is science? For every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. That's true. That's also true in our karma. If we cause suffering to others, we have to suffer. People don't see this. They think that the animal is just some body, so we can kill the animal and eat it. But they don't realize that the reaction is there for that. The soul, the Atma, is also there in the body of the animal. The animal is also suffering. So you have to suffer also. So the real national interest is to give people knowledge. And knowledge doesn't mean to get some degree so you can become a dentist and make people's teeth nice so they can smile nicely and get a job as a model or something like this. Or you can become a rocket scientist and boost the national pride by sending a rocket. Anyway, they're always going to be at least 40, 50 years behind America. What's the use anyway? Shiva Kasi, there's so many fireworks and this. They're making, what's that, Sri Harikota, what's that place? Andhra Coast, they send big fireworks. And they say, India, now we're advanced. What advancement? What is the actual advancement? We are cultivating ignorance by thinking that we will be benefited by building more roads. But real benefit means to understand how to get free from birth and death. The greatest, most intelligent people in history were all Indians, but not the modern Indian type. This means Vyasadeva, most intelligent, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya. These are the most. The first point of intelligence should be to understand what is the purpose of our life. Isn't it? Isn't that the first thing we... An actually intelligent person should consider what is the purpose of life. But without considering that, we think that it is intelligent to get a big degree and some job you're earning 30,000 rupees a month. And this is intelligent. But it's not intelligent not to consider that we all have to die, what happens after that. And the stock answer of the foolish materialist is that everything is finished. Why? Why do you presume so? Why should you presume that everything is finished? It's just, they say, well, there's no proof of life after death. There's no proof that there's no life after death. There's no proof that there, either way, there's no proof. But all the most intelligent people, those whose character it is seen they are on a higher level, persons who are not moved by their senses. The mathematics professor I was talking to, he was telling me, he was talking about eating meat, that when I see it, I just want to eat it. That I told him, you're not in control of your senses. You're not using your intelligence to think what I should do. Just I'm controlled by my... I see meat, I want to eat it. You don't think, should I not? So, persons by their character who are completely in control of their senses, that is demonstrated in their behavior. Such persons, most intelligent, they have produced bhashas on Shastra, which nowadays people can't understand because they don't have the intelligence. People are not trained in them. So the most intelligent people, they all directed us towards spiritual advancement. They all directed us to consider what is the actual purpose of life? Otherwise, we may be very intelligent, but if we spend all our intelligence studying something which is useless, then what is the value? Just like there are so many scientists, some scientists may spend their whole life studying the mating habits of one species of butterfly. And they're an expert. They go to the Amazon jungle and study butterflies, and they're the world expert on butterflies. And what is the value? So they're studying so many useless things. But what the actual intelligence is, first of all, we should consider, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? Who am I? What am I doing? Why am I suffering? I have to suffer death, old age, disease. Why? Is there a solution to this? Not, there's no material solution. However much you develop science, toothpaste factories, you can develop dozens of millions of toothpaste factories and still you'll get toothache and still you'll die. So modern science cannot give answers to these questions, and they foolishly say that, oh, these things are not important, just build more roads. Why? An intelligent person stops to think, why? What is the purpose of life? But in modern life, there's no time to think. Work, work, study, get a degree, work, get a job, develop your career. And when you have a little time, go to a party, watch TV, go to the bar, go to the disco. No time and no disposition to think, what is the purpose of life? This kind of question, who am I? Who is God? What is the purpose of life? This kind of question will arise if we have sattvic buddhi. But modern life is rajasic and tamasic. So this kind of question will not arise. And even if the question is put, they'll just reject. No need. Well, don't think. Don't think about all these things. Just get more money. This is tamasic buddhi. To not even consider what is the purpose of life, this is tamasic buddhi. So we can say that in the name of, judged from the shastric point of view, the advancement of modern society is advancement in ignorance. It's promoting rajagun and tamagun, which are inauspicious for human society. Sattvagun should be promoted. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam. From sattvagun, actual jnana can arise. From rajagun and tamagun, there cannot be jnana. So, science and spirituality. We have to understand, real science means to understand things as they are. Real science begins with understanding what is matter and what is spirit. And most of what goes on in the name of spirituality nowadays is only mundane. We'll have some so-called Swami teaching us how to, what is that, stress management. That is mundane. There's nothing to do with spiritual learning. How personality development, totally mundane. Spirituality means to first of all understand, what is the difference between deha and dehi? This is the first thing Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. Dehino sinya tha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praktihi dhiras tatra namuhyati. The first teaching Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. What is the difference between deha and dehi? The body and the owner of the body. But modern so-called spirituality is just cheating people by giving some kind of psychological adjustment how to live in this material world without teaching us that the real purpose of life is to live in this world in such a way that we don't have to get born again. That is the purpose of human life. That is what distinguishes human life from animal life. In human life, there is the opportunity for Brahma Jignyasa. Athato Brahma Jignyasa. Human life is meant for inquiring, King Tan Brahma Kinadhyatna, what is spiritual life? What is the nature of spirit? But in modern life, they're simply asking, where is money? Where is kuti? So animal platform. So this Krishna consciousness movement is based on giving actual knowledge. Actual knowledge begins with Bhagavad Gita as it is. How many of you have Bhagavad Gita in your home? How many of you have read Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end? Much less. Less than half. Every good Hindu has Bhagavad Gita in their home only, but they don't read it. Just Mangal Kaliye Ragnar. Acha Hoga, Bhagavad Gita Ragnar. We're going door to door with Bhagavad Gita because I already have 3-4 editions. They're nicely kept on the shelf. No one is reading. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for teaching Bhagavad Gita practically. People say, oh, spiritual life, that's not practical. Bhagavad Gita is most practical. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna in a very practical situation. They weren't sitting in armchairs with nothing to do, sitting on the side of a river. They were sitting, well, it was about to become a river of blood on the battlefield. And Arjuna had a very real problem that we all, similar problem that we face. What should I do? Should I act for the satisfaction of my kinsmen, my family members, or should, but they are acting in a wrong way, so should, what is dharma? My gurus and family members, they are acting according to adharma. So dharma means we should follow guru. But guru, they are following adharma. So what should I do? Is it dharma to follow guru who is following adharma? This is Arjuna's similar question we all face. We all have these kind of problems in our practical life. Krishna gave practical solution. Krishna did not speak to Arjuna on a superficial level. That Arjuna, you have a big fight coming up ahead. I'll give you a few tips for stress management. Krishna never said that. Or I'll give you a few tips for personality development. When you're fighting with people, look them in the eyes. Krishna never said any such thing. Krishna taught him, what is the actual purpose of life? Why are you lamenting? What is the root cause of all the problems? The root cause is ajnana. Ajnana means not knowing the difference between deha and dehi. What is atma? Who is paramatma? Krishna. So if we understand this, then everything automatically follows. If we understand what is the root problem and we solve that, then everything else is solved. But modern society, in the name of scientific progress, we are, the example is given in Shastra, it's just like we are watering the leaves and the branches, the fruits and the flowers of a tree, but not the root. So, if you see the tree is becoming dried up, you see the leaves are becoming dry and the fruit is becoming shriveled up, so you think we should pour some water on the leaf. Seems like a good idea, doesn't it? But if you pour water on the leaf will not get any benefit. We have to pour it on the root. And by pouring it on the root, then automatically the leaves, branches, twigs, everything is nourished. So that example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, yathātaror mūla niṣecenena cipyanti tat skandha bhujopashākha prāṇopahārācca yatendriyānam tathaiva sarvāhanam acyuteja that Achyuta, Krishna, is the root of existence. So we have to pour water on the root, we have to give our bhakti to Krishna, then automatically that will go to everyone. This is the real meaning of Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. We have to know everyone is Kutumba. Who is the father? That is Krishna. Same example is given in Bhagavatam, that if we want to nourish the body, we may say, I can't hear properly nowadays, or I can't see properly. Oh, and what's the problem? Malnutrition. Okay, so you put some ghee in your ear, or put some dosa, idli, samba, put it in the ear, get some nourishment. Oh, I can't see, you're getting so weak, I can't see anything. Okay, put some rasam in the eyes. Will that help? You have to put it in the stomach, through the mouth to the stomach. And then automatically, all these, you're feeling very weak. Oh, I didn't eat for 5 days. Actually, just 1 week ago, I didn't eat for 5 days because I was sick. So I was feeling weak. So now I'm not feeling weak because I'm eating. Now I can digest again. So I'm feeling very weak and now I can hardly lift my hand. Okay, so press some rice into the hand. It won't work. You have to, the system, put through the mouth into the stomach. Very simple. We laugh and we say, oh, put food in the ear. It's foolish, isn't it? Foolish. Well, that's what we're doing. That's the whole problem of modern society. We are trying to solve our problems without putting water on the root of the tree. We don't know where to apply our energy in such a manner that everything will be cut out very nicely. We're very busy trying to solve this problem and that problem and increasing our problems. But the real problem is that we are neglecting our natural propensity, which is to love Krishna. That Freud was saying, we have to get in contact with our inner being. Our inner being is Atma. The natural propensity of the Atma is to love Krishna. So if we love Krishna, then automatically all problems are solved. All the problems of human society can be solved only by Krishna Bhakti. No planning commission, no factory development, none of these things can solve any of our problems. Nothing. Materially and spiritually, all problems can be solved simply by putting Krishna in the center, because he is in the center. And neglect of Krishna, that is the cause of all our problems. Our main problems are janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, solved by Krishna Bhakti. We may say, well, even on the material platform, what are the problems? Tamil Nadu, there's a big problem, no water. It's all here in Kaveri, water is all here. So, but that problem can be solved by chanting Hare Krishna and giving up sinful activities, and then there'll be enough rain. That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that how do we get water? Not from bore wells, you dig 300 feet, still no water. Dig another 100 feet, and comes water for 1 week and then dried up again. You chant Hare Krishna. Yagya bhavati parjanya. By yagya, rain comes. But people are not performing yagya. In Kali Yuga, yagya is sankirtan yagya. But people are performing sinful activities. Then there's no rain, not enough rain. So many problems in human society. All, what are our material necessities? What are the material necessities? Roti kapra makan. If you remember from Indira Gandhi's, she was promising. Garibi hatao. Hatana ka. Sambhavana nahi. Not possible. Because we have manasik garibi. As long as there is mental poverty, there must be all kinds of poverty in human society. The real poverty, the real problem is lack of knowledge of Krishna. And if this is put in the center of society, then all problems will be solved. So I was saying I'm a greater scientist than Einstein. I'm also a greater patriot of India than Gandhi. Because Gandhi, he was Garibi Hatao, Indira Gandhi said, and Mahatma Gandhi said, British Ko Hatao. So, quit India. But I am the greater patriot of India. Prabhupada was the greatest, he used to say, I am the greatest patriot. Because we are teaching how India can actually be the greatest superpower. India can be the greatest superpower by her own spiritual knowledge. This is what we really need. The real superpower is Krishna. By forgetting Krishna, we become super foolish. And India at the present time is the number one foolish country in the world. Sorry to say, but it's a fact. Because you have got the greatest knowledge and you're giving that up to become disco, go to discos, go to bars, all this rubbish. Such great culture. India population means Rishiputra. You all have your, isn't it, you're in Gautam line or Kashyap line, or, you're all in different gotras. So you're all Rishiputras. But now you're imitating the monkey culture of the Western world. How to jump around like a drunken man. Work hard, get money and spend it all and turn all your money into urine by drinking. So they're fooling. Therefore India is the greatest potential. How to lead the world by spiritual knowledge. But unfortunately, instead of becoming superpower, it's becoming super foolish. So I'm requesting, don't be a super fool. Krishna is teaching us how to become Superman. Means, Superman, they have all this Superman, Batman, all these stuff. And they think you're very, or they have these gyms, you'll become very strong, get a big strong body. So the people who want to go to the gym and get a big strong body, by the grace of Daivi Prakriti, in their next life they will become a buffalo, big strong body, without going to the gym. And then you can pull a cart through Bangalore. Big strong body. This is what you will get. What you want, you will get. Yadrishi, yadrishi, shraddha, siddhiya bhavati tadrishi. Whatever we desire, whatever we have faith in, that we will get. So you want a big strong body, then become a buffalo. But real strength means the strength of mind to understand what is my real purpose of life. Strength of mind means the strength of mind to say no. I don't want to smoke, I don't want to drink, I don't want to eat meat. I want to be in control of my senses and go to Krishna. So this is real Superman. Real Superman is not someone who can pick up two people at once and throw them to the side of the room. Then you become like a mini Ravana. Then you'll get killed by Ram. So that's not Superman. Ravana thought, I'm a Superman. So he had to meet Ram, not in the way that Hanuman met Ram. So actually Hanuman is more powerful than Ravana by bhakti to Rama. So real great qualities, real personality development means to be in control of our senses. big strong, we have big strong body, but controlled by our senses. This is means we're again an animal, like a buffalo, big strong body, but not in control of its senses. You see all the cows, they have a, cows and bulls, they're stronger than humans. But if you go, you bring some fresh grass or some gur, they all push each other out of the way, isn't it? You know, any of you ever went, you don't see cows? You bring some, there's a group of cows, you bring, who's the strongest cow will push the others out of the way. They don't think I should control my senses and we should share it nicely with others. Just push out, the strongest will push out and come and grab all the grass and or gur or whatever you're given. But this means uncontrolled senses. So we can actually become spiritually advanced by controlling the senses and acting in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. This is required. It's a great subject. It's taught in Bhagavad Gita. We have to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. Most of the teachers of Bhagavad Gita, they bring out Bhagavad Gita, quote one or two shlokas, and then talk all rubbish, which has got nothing to do with Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us Bhagavad Gita as it is. What has Krishna taught in Bhagavad Gita? Manmana bhavaman bhakto. Always think of me, become my devotee. Sarvadhamam parityaja, mam ekam sharanam raja. Give up all other varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. So this Krishna conscious movement is based on the purely spiritual principle of bhakti to Krishna. It is not impractical. Krishna taught Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in a practical situation. How to practically apply that in our lives for our own personal highest benefit and for the benefit of all human society is being taught by the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Hare Krishna. Do all of you have Bhagavad Gita as it is in your homes? You're all studying that daily or just keeping it? Now you got it, you have to read it. Is there any question? Do we have that scientific development of the, what's that called, cordless mic? If anyone has any question? Wait a minute, let's have the mic so I don't have to repeat it. You're going to say, scientists say. Well, before you say that, I'll qualify that by saying, some scientists say. Because whatever you say, scientists say, actually, it's only some of them. Because the scientists, they all have different opinions. In the name of so-called science, they all have different opinions. I read a few years ago that among astrophysicists, there are about 2,000 different theories of the origin of the universe. And how many astrophysicists are there in the world? Probably not more than 2,000. So is it science or guesswork? So some scientists say. Yeah.
Some scientists are claiming that we went to
Chandra. Some scientists say we went to the moon.
So can we believe this?
Believe? Well, we believe in Shastra. You cannot go to Chandraloka by mechanical means. Just like Trishanku, he wanted to go to heaven, but he wasn't allowed. He didn't have a Shivakasi rocket. He was being pushed up by Vishvamitra, by yoga, even by yoga shakti he couldn't go. Because you have to go by punya. So they say they've gone to the moon, so why don't they go again? On the moon there must be plenty of gold and platinum, and why don't they get that and then they can finance their trip to Mars instead of taxing all of us. Why they stop going? They say there's nothing, just dust. But Shastra says that Chandraloka, what is that? What is that in Gama Vishati Bhutan? Dharyame Hamoja Ojasa. Pushnami Oshadi Sarva Somo Bhutvara Satmakaha. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that in the form of the moon, I give the nourishment to all the vegetables. And there's no vegetables on the moon. So who do we believe? The scientist who's telling us they went there, or Krishna who says that the moon is heavenly planet? So basically a lot of cheating is going on in the name of science. They say it's all dust, but the desert in Saudi Arabia is all sand, but it's full of oil. So why don't they look underneath the dust? If it is as they say, then they should be able to dig out gold and so many things, isn't it? So we believe that they are bluffing. They're cheating. On the basis of Shastra. I have more faith in Shastra than in Mr. Scientist. Previously in India, people used to have faith in Shastra. Say, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, oh yes. Oh. Nowadays you say, Sri Scientist Uvacha, oh. The scientists themselves, they are also Brahm Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Pata. In Shastra, it's analyzed that there are four propensities of the Baddha Jiva, or conditioned soul. Tendency to make mistakes, to be in illusion, to have imperfect senses, and to cheat others. Scientists also have that. There's so much cheating in modern science, directly or indirectly. Just like they're teaching Darwin's theory. After so many hundreds of, now it's more than 150 years, still theory. Why didn't they prove? Can they bring together Mr. Monkey and Mrs. Monkey and make George Bush out of them? Is it possible? Theory, only theory. Since Darwin spoke his theory, millions of monkeys have given birth to millions of more monkeys. And they only give birth to monkeys. We didn't see any genetically mutated Einsteins coming out of monkeys. So it's a theory. But they teach it because it's convenient to deny that there's any God in control. If we say that everything has come by chance, then no need of God, according to their theory. So they're actually, it's atheism they're promoting in the name of. But we're so foolish that we think it's science. Science means that you should be able to demonstrate, but they don't demonstrate. They just talk this theory, that theory. Cheating. Science means cheating. What's going on in the name of science? This is not simply dogmatism that I'm saying. We have a very nice book called Life Comes From Life, in which Srila Prabhupada, just a small book, you can read it in 2 hours. You can very clearly see, by reading this book, you can understand what is the cheating of modern science. We have that book here, Life Comes From Life. Yeah, there's another question. In India, people, they don't believe when we say scientists are cheating. In the Western countries, where all this so-called scientific advancement came from, people can very easily accept this. They're more advanced. Same thing in the Western countries. So many things. Indian people think we're becoming more advanced by becoming meat eaters, like the Westerners. But the Westerners are becoming vegetarians because they know by scientific understanding that it's bad for health. But in India, they still think it's good for health. Yeah, question. Can you speak in the mic? Use your technique. What was that? Prior to Kali Yuga?
Prior to other ages in copper and all, did people offer food
to Krishna? Yes.
But like Pandavas used to eat meat.
Maybe. There is a system for offering meat in yajna. That's also there. Not recommended for you and me. But there was a system there, yes, for kshatriyas. To kill the animals, offer them in yajna. Can be not recommended for people wanting to make spiritual advancement. But Prabhupada, he actually said, if you're so much addicted to eating meat, let the animal die and then eat, you'll get less sinful reaction for doing so. But not recommended for spiritual advancement. For spiritual advancement, that is recommended, we should take Krishna Prasad. And Krishna, he takes patram pushpam palam toyam. So, generally, meat eating is very detrimental for spiritual advancement.
Where is the soul situated in trance?
Where is the soul
situated in trance?
Prana.
Trance.
Where is the soul situated in trance?
Plants.
I don't know exactly. I haven't. There are many areas of. Just like if you're to study science, there's so much to be understood. Basically, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that hridayashajuna tishtati, that this the soul is situated in the region of the heart. Where that would be for a plant, I'm not a biologist, so I don't know. Maybe the botanist could tell us. It's not the most important question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. United States claims that they went to moon. Is it really true?
That question was just asked 5 minutes ago.
Thanks.
You just came. You just discussed them. Is there a prasad arrangement? So please don't, see people are leaving, please don't leave without prasad. Say it in Kannada. Prasad ka bandabaste, prasad ke bina mat jai. Prasad leke jai. Please, yeah.
Suffering is due to karma. What is?
That's true, but the root cause of suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. That's true. Purusha sukha dukhanam bhuktritve hita ruchate. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that our sukha and dukkha is because of us. But the root cause of suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. As Atma, we all have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And that relationship is Premanandamayi. This lady here is called Anandamayi Ma. But what are that actual Ananda, spiritual Ananda, means Premananda with Krishna. So the root cause of all suffering is that we are cut off from Krishna. That is the root cause. And then suffering manifests as Sukh and Dukh. Sukh is also Dukh. Sukh, what is Sukh? To have Dhanam, Rupam, Yasham, these are all symptoms. But that also leads to forgetfulness of Krishna. So that's what we call Sukh is also Dukh. Actual Sukh begins with understanding Krishna. I think we'll finish here because it looks like everyone's going in.
Hare Krishna, one more question. I just want to know what is the significance of the chandra that we put
These are all the symbols of being Vaishnava Das.
Okay.
Vishnu Das and Vaishnava Das.
So it's just more of expressing that okay, we are Vaishnavas, but does it have any role in understanding Krishna consciousness?
Yes, because that helps us to remember Krishna and helps others to remember Krishna. Smaranta smaryantascha. Devotees are supposed to remember Krishna and help others. So by putting this, when we put this, this is not any ordinary earth, this is Gopi Chandan. This is coming from the Gopi's mercy. And we put it in a particular shape, which means that this is creating Hari Mandir. So this reminds us of Krishna. And when others see that, they're also reminded of Krishna. So it's helpful. It's not just an ordinary symbol, but it's a spiritual symbol. Okay, we'll finish. If you don't have Bhagavad Gita as it is in your home, please take a copy. You should have a copy in your home. Must have a copy in your home. We also have many books of Srila Prabhupada, they're available, there's a book table here. I've also, on the order of Srila Prabhupada, written several books which are available here. Those of you who are having Prabhupada's books may also like to take some of the books that I've written.
Hare Krishna. So before we begin next program, which is a small kirtan and also prasad, I would like to thank His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj for giving a wonderful lecture. And also I would like to thank the organizers, Rajana Prabhu and his family, O Prakash, Jagadish.